Just for those of you who don't know, all children under the age of 3 have a pass to make as much noise as they want to, all right? So, and for some adults who like to act like they're under 3. Well, I want to spend some time with you this morning. Now, last week we talked about a real reason to doubt, talked about being real and that doubts come into our lives, and we do well to understand that and confess it and kind of deal with it, especially, I think, in before our world, you know, because I think that they need to see that people who are Christians are blood-boiling, emotional, have feelings, they go through hard times, they deal with life, but they have someone who is there every step of the way helping them go through that life. And this morning I want to talk to you about reasons for fear. And, you know, if we're honest, there are a lot of reasons out around in our world today to be fearful of, right? Losing my job, can't get a job. There's a mosquito-borne spread virus called the Triple E. You know, flu season's coming. Gang violence on Long Island, which has become very big. Addictions of all kinds. You know, and the thing that strikes fear into our lives most times is because a lot of the things that we talk about and we look at have a link to the possibility of dying and death. And that is a very real reality in our life. And death and loss is not something that any of us go, yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to that, you know? I mean, it strikes fear, comes with it pain, you know, and what should we do with that? Should we run and hide? Well, I want to pose to you this morning that as people of God, that God has called us to lead the way in many, many respects throughout our world. But today I want to deal with leading the way in confronting death and dying with truth, truth that God has given us, you know. So this morning I want to confront that head on with you by looking at Psalm 116. And I'm going to take this in 3 different parts, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses and then move on from there. So as we go to Psalm 116, you know, David was a psalmist, but he didn't write all the psalms, and the different individuals. And someone, I think, other than David wrote this psalm. But I want to say to you, any person that sought after God and had a relationship with God, whether you realize it or not, is a target, right? And so there's always things that come across their lives and our lives as believers that can strike fear. Let's hear what the psalmist has to say today. He goes on to start to say, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I want to focus on verse 3 with you this morning for a moment. Death encompassed me. In other words, it covered over this individual. It came over him, and probably like that. It embraced him. It took hold of him. And I'm sure he felt, at times, emotionally controlled. And that's what fear does. You talk to people, fear has a way of freezing us in our tracks. And I want to say to you that this is a common theme throughout the Bible about fear, things enough to fear. Every one of the apostles that were called from Christ dealt with those aspects. They were marked people. Now, I wouldn't go out and say, you know, and invite people into Christianity and then tell them, you know, at the same breath, by the way, and if you do this, you're going to be marked for life, you know? But the fact is that whenever you and I go to do something good, whenever we seek God, we have a very real enemy. And we become marked people because we actually want to do something good. We actually want to serve a higher purpose. And every one of those who followed after Christ dealt with certain fears and apprehensions of what that faith that they held on would bring. Paul said this in Romans 8:36. For your sake, he's talking about the people that they were serving and bringing life to, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. In other words, he was pursued. I've mentioned this before from the pulpit to you, that Paul was always being pursued from one town, from one city to another. Always, because the message of life that he was bringing to people that could actually make a difference in someone's life and transform their lives. Now, it comes with the territory. It comes with the lifestyle. But I love the way the psalmist says in verse 4, he called on the Lord. And in verse 6, he said, the Lord preserves, and he saved me. He saved me. You see, fears are real, but we have someone who is greater than all our fears. I don't care how many of them you can stack one upon another. God is greater. His presence is real. His power to redeem has been experienced, I'm sure, by each of you at least once in your life, if not many, many more times. The psalmist knew it. Paul knew it. It's tangible. It's something that you and I could take hold. Just as much as you take hold of the steering wheel of your car every day when you get into it, you can take hold of the presence of God in your life. And the psalmist goes on, and we get into the practicality of his seeking after the Lord in verses 8 to 14. Verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death. Right? The very thing that is facing every individual that has ever been born. My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. In other words, the psalmist, in the middle of his troubles, was kind of nipping it in the bud. How many times have you and I been facing fears that they can actually get a stronghold on us and almost like grab us by the neck and take us for hours, if not days, maybe even weeks at a time, distort our perspective on life, distort our relationship with one another and with Christ? The psalmist is taking hold of us in the midst of his afflictions. If you and I could do that, if we could share that with others, what power, what stability could take place in an individual's life and make all the difference? Verse 11, I said, in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence. Listen. Of all his people. Thanksgiving is coming. Thanksgiving service is coming. It's an opportunity to hear what God is doing in the lives of others. I want to ask you, what is God doing in your life right now? Now you might sit here and go, it's really a small thing. But nothing is small when it relates to God's presence in our lives. Nothing. He says in verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death. A very real enemy. A very real enemy. But the answer is found in the relationship that we have with him and connecting with God. Now, I don't know how you call on the name of the Lord. This is what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, by the way, means everyone. Everyone. So I don't care if you've been a Christian 30 plus years. Don't ever tire of calling on the name of the Lord. You and I have a message to share with others. People who don't know. We prayed for Angelina this morning, right? Here's someone who we can share with, people like her, that there's someone that she could call on, you know? We should never lose sight of the message that we have for others, that there's someone they can call upon. At one time or another, our journey in faith started with us calling on the Lord. Oh God, I can't take living like this anymore. Oh God, I need you. Oh Lord, I can't figure this out. I don't have a clue. I've run out of ideas. I'm out of strength. I don't know what to do with myself. The expressions can go on and on and on. And it began. You started calling on the name of the Lord. Well, that's something that God, that's a gift that God has given us. That we have the understanding that he reigns, that he watches over us, that he cares. And I want to tell you, there are many people that need to hear that message. May God open a door where you might be able to stand next to somebody and say, did you ever consider? Did you ever think of? Let me tell you what it's done for me. See, that's what people need to hear. That there's someone who cares about you and loves you, and he's been with you, and he's been working in your life. Well, because many people today, whether they are facing physical death or the possibility of that because they've just been given a diagnosis that wasn't favorable, or whether they are dealing with things in their life that is causing small little deaths. And what do I mean by that? Well, I've lost my position. I'm losing mobility. I can't run the way I used to. I can't walk freely the way I'd like to. Yesterday I was in the backyard and I was cutting limbs off of my neighbor's tree that are overhanging my yard, and I'm tired of the pines, cones and the pine needles and stuff like that. So I get up on a ladder, you know, and I'm sawing away. I got to tell you, I walked in the house and I said to Kathy, I said, I'm just not moving the way I used to, you know. The arthritis in my lower right side is always affecting me, you know. Break out the Tylenol, take a hot shower. Because I'm not 32 anymore. And all the crawling under vanities that I did over the years to fix a leak and get to this and get to that, I feel it, man. I feel it. I feel it in my knees. I feel it in my back. I feel it in my neck. So I get on the table every day and turn myself upside down on the inversion table. These are little debts, because we have to face the fact that I'm not who I used to be. You are not who you used to be. And it comes with getting older. And oh God, what am I to do with this? Because it doesn't make me feel good. I don't feel confident. I don't feel secure. And how am I going to face this getting old thing? Call on the name of the Lord. Because he makes it okay. We kind of get a sense that this is part of the journey. And it's not something to fear. But before God, embrace it and say, oh God, I don't want to feel like this, but I do. You know? I do. And no matter how many supplements I'm throwing down in my protein shake every morning, at some point, it's only going to get me so far. It's life. But I'm not going to sit at the table every morning holding on to that table like, you know, it's going to do something for me. But to enter the day, you know, God, here I am. What do you want to do with me? Where do you want to take me? How do you want to use me? And on and on and on. So we move down into the completion of the psalm, verses 15 to 19. And one of you, not mentioning any names, when Kathy's mom passed away, gave us a card, and on the face of that card was this verse: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint, so I'm going to talk to you about that in a second. Oh Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maid servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. When you look at this psalm, there's a real embrace of his God in this. A real thanksgiving, a real love is being formed between him and the Lord. And I want to tell you, it is because of crisis that it's happening. Now, I know you and I, if you're like me, I would love every day to just go nice and smooth. You know what I'm saying? There's enough aggravation in the world. There's enough heartache. I would just every now and then say, Lord, you know, I really would like a break. You know? But it's the crisis, it's the heartache, it's the troubles that actually produce, I believe, a real love for God. Not all the smooth times, but all the difficulties. Because it's at that time we really realize how great is our need, how much we really need a Savior, how much God needs to be active in our lives to be able to carry us through the hardest of times. And God here is proving himself to this man, this writer, that he saves in life-threatening circumstances, that he shows up and he delivers. But I had to ask myself this question as I was preparing this week, but what about the issue of dying? What about the issue of death? What about it? You see, because the fact is, every one of the apostles saw death. Every one of them. And some horrific deaths. And I don't have to go through the list with you, but you know some of them, like Peter being crucified upside down, as historians claim he was. And some were run through a sword. And even John, who didn't have a horrific death, died of old age. I mean, it's just evident. It's a fact. Fact. Every one of us at some point will have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no getting around it. Not unless the Lord splits the sky tomorrow and comes back to take us up with him. And the fact is that each one of us are going the way of Lazarus. And what do I mean by that? Lazarus was ill, and he died. And Christ raised him from the dead. How many of us have been at times healed of something in our lives? Some small, some large. God is healing. God's a healer. He loves to do it. He desires to do it. But at some point, like Lazarus, we will have to face death, even though Christ raised us from the dead in our spiritual hearts, in our lives, right? And even though he might have healed us from a great many illnesses, at some point, we will succumb to something and go on. And does that mean that God stopped loving us? Absolutely not. Does it mean that God is powerless or he's run out of gifts to give? Absolutely not. It's just a part of life. And then we read, precious is in the sight is the Lord. I'm sorry, let me get this right. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What does that mean? Well, I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that the Lord is like one of the Union generals in the Civil War who had so many men he just continued to pour out. Do you know at one time, you know, the Civil War, the Union won because of the tenacity of Ulysses S. Grant. But man, he was taking a lot of criticism because he'd be pouring men into battles. And it would be losing men by the thousands. Well, God is not. And this verse doesn't mean that God just takes joy over seeing Christians die and leaving this earth. If that was the case, he would have never sent his son. If that was the case in the original blueprints, it was never part. It was never meant for us to get sick and die when God created the world. It was because sin entered in that it all began. So what does that mean? Well, what it does mean is that your life and my life and the life of every Christian that's ever been martyred, those who were torn apart by lions in Rome back in the day, all of these lives were costly to God, precious in his sight, had great value. He cherished them where the rest of the world hated and could discard such lives so easily. He treasured these lives. They were precious to him. And he saw it as a great cost that they would be taken from this world and to the detriment of those who were doing the murdering and the killing. But I want to say to you this morning that with him, there is no fear in death. There should be none. And if there is, then we need to examine that. Why am I fearful? Why am I fearful? Am I buying into the culture? You know, sometimes you read these ads for medications and supplements, and you would think that it's all about living forever. Well, I think spiritually speaking, they got it right. You know, because when I leave here, I plan on living forever. Don't you? So I think spiritually speaking, they got it right. But physically speaking, I think they have it all wrong. And sometimes I think maybe as Christians, we buy into this. And we think it's about living forever here. And I can tell you right now, as much as I love you all, I don't want to be living forever here. Okay? Now, I'm not all charged about going, by the way. I want to quote Pastor Art. Years ago, Pastor Art said in a message, you know, certain things that are said, they stick with you. He said, I don't mind dying. I just don't want to have to go through it, you know? I don't want to have to go through it. And isn't that very real? But I want to say to you, there should be no fear in death because on the other side of the thin veil, there is someone who is standing with us with their arms open wide, wanting to receive us. And so, considering the fact that he is on the other side of the thin veil with his arms open wide, I too should be embracing that journey when it comes. I should be embracing it with open arms. So this morning before I go, I want to just give you some thoughts from the Word of God to hold on so that we can continue to journey in freedom and not fear. Look at Psalm 139 with me, verse 13, for starters. Pastor John used this psalm in preparing us for the study in Philemon on Wednesday night. It's like one of my favorite psalms. I have used this psalm at some individuals' funeral services, because I really do believe it speaks a great deal about where we came from and where we're going. Psalm 139:13, you, meaning the Lord, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. You see, we were designed by someone, created, shaped, and molded. And one day, the person who put us all together will be there to receive us back again. See? That's what's going to happen when we pass from this life. Wouldn't that be a great comfort for a great many people if they knew that there was a God who loved them and designed them, knit them together in their mom's womb, and then brought them into this world? And that he waits when this life is all over for them to receive them back again. Verse 16, Psalm 139. David says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Every moment, every day, every curve in your body, every life experience that you're having now and will have has been recorded before God in his book. That means he knows the exact day of the departure, of our departure. We all went to the window, we all purchased a ticket. But when we look at that ticket, it's invisible. It's almost as if it was written in magic ink. That unless you put a solution over it, will the writing appear? Well, it's not for us to see because God is written on that ticket. And the moment of our departure, the hour that the train pulls up the station, only He knows that. Because He's God and we're not. And then 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. None. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. By the way, love, perfect love casts out all fear. That doesn't mean that our love for God is perfect. His perfect love working in our lives will free us up. Free us up to be able to face whatever could strike fear into our hearts. And as far as departing, there is no fear in love. If we have a relationship with God, there is absolutely nothing to fear when we breathe our last. Because His love has done away with whatever could cause any kind of punishment. Because that's what sin does to people's lives. It punishes them, it punishes others, it leaves them without. But God, through Christ, has He not dispelled all that? Has He not changed all that? But it's His perfect love. Because no matter how much I try, I will never love Him perfectly. It's just not going to happen. I'm too defect. You know? I'm too... Well, I think Sue Herman brought that up last week, right? She talked about, you know what? The thing that she loved about me was that I think basically she's saying, like, you know, she could see me as a person, you know? That I fall down too, you know? That I fall short too. We joked about that. She says, I don't know if I can ever say it right when I get up on past appreciation, but we joked about that. But you know what? It's true. We are all that way. We're all frail. We all fall short, right? And then 1 Corinthians 15:26, and I love this. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's the last. In fact, that'll be the last fear that any person will ever have to confront. The last enemy to be destroyed, done away, blown up, is death. Because Christ has dealt with that. We're not without a Savior. No matter what we're confronted with, in small, medium, or large fears, God is able to do a work in us to dispel those fears and comfort us and strengthen us and for us to be able to do the other for others. So we're going to sing a song that is going to be focusing on this last verse of Scripture, Psalms 34:4. And the psalmist says, I sought the Lord. I called on His name. I went after Him. And He answered me and delivered me from a few fears, for some of my fears, from all my fears. From all my fears. So, you know what? The bottom line is, no matter what you and I can deal with, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what we'll be faced with. We don't know the hour of our departure. But the bottom line is, He's there for us to call upon, and He will deal with it. So Tiffany is going to come up and get prepared to close us with this song. And let's just prepare our hearts, right? Our Father, we are grateful for this time together. Lord, we trust that when we go here from today, O Lord, that You will be every bit as present with us as we woke up this morning to prepare to come here. Lord, I pray, O God, may we never lose sight or become dull in our awareness of your loving presence in our lives. In Christ's name we pray, and all the people of God said, amen. As always, thank you for listening. Moment. I want to ask you to close your eyes just 1 minute more, and I want to ask you, it's just between you and the Lord and for me to say, but if there's a fear that you're dealing with right now, I want you simply to lift your hand up in the air just for me to see. All right? Awesome. I'm going to lift that up to God. Keep your hands up for a moment. Father, you see our hands. Lord, you read the heart of every person in the sanctuary, oh God. And Lord, some of us are feeling a fear that we have to face here and now. But Lord, I pray, oh God, your power would come down, that you would touch each hand that is raised right now, that your fingers would interlock with their fingers, oh God, and that you would breathe hope and your spirit on them and give them a confidence that you are with them, that you love them, that you are going to help them overcome and conquer that particular fear, oh God. And Father, to some of us whose hands are not up today, but surely, as life brings it, we will be dealing with something down the road. And Lord, when that moment comes, I pray, oh God, we'll remember that you are the God who delivers. You are the God who strengthens. You are the God who walks with us day in and day out. Father, we take all these requests and we bring them before you. We worship you, oh God. We sing your praises and we thank you for your great love in our lives. And for this, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.